It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Talking. Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, your boy LA, Lonzo, and my pal, my good friend Tatiana. How are you, T?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good.
It's a little hot, but otherwise I'm great.
I love it. It is hot, man. It's crazy. Before I say a few things, I do want to talk about some events real quickly. The first is our third annual Art of Exhortation. Every year it gets better. You don't want to miss that. August 1st at 5 p.m., 501 Whitechapel Road, Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. $20 admission. And, man, they're going to have what a program, man. I'll try to go by what I remember. DS Will be there. Plug Into Love. Y'all heard her on the show too. Drop Bars. Pen. Man, I'm telling you. Ariel Nicole. Frank Expression out of Charlotte, North Carolina will be the host. And my man, Doc Scholar. Humble. Misha and Mariah, they're on the album too, on my album too, like you, T. Sosa Brown, Tierra. I mean, it goes on and on. But again, August 1st, 501 Whitechapel Road, Fuquay Arena. And then on August 14th, the Battle of Christian Hip Hop Stellar Awards Week at Headliners, 225 East 6th Street. That's in Charlotte, North Carolina. That'll be from 12 to 4. Rapper Sue, Ms. Tiffany, and yours truly, the Unknown Preacher LA. And then September the 11th at 7 p.m., the Throne Room Experience Conference at Triumphant Church, 2807 Dart Circle Drive in Durham, North Carolina. Man, that's a lot, T. I'm sorry, but I had to get it out there.
And you ain't invite me to none of these events. Shame on you.
But I know how busy you are, and you're always such a loyal team member, and you pick and choose. Once you find out, you show up. So it's always
that was a nice way you cleaned that up.
But you see how quickly I did it, though.
You did.
Like that, man. You don't.
You're good on your toes.
Hey. I really enjoyed last week's episode, by the way, too.
Did you? Were you okay?
No, I did, yeah. For real. No, I got a lot of positive feedback, and, you know, it was a good discussion. So I really appreciate
I gotta try not to care so much.
No, that's what makes you, man. I learned a long time ago, man. I tried it before. Try to be someone that I'm not, and it was muddy, it was clumsy, and I made a mess. You have to be yourself, you know. And good friends, we pull each other back, so, right?
That's right, but I'm going to officially apologize on air for saying I'll save you and my phone is Clarence Thomas. I'm sorry.
Man, you don't owe me an apology.
I did not change your name in my phone. It's the same as it always was, just your first and last name.
People know. But now, my lyrics and my route, when I say I love all people, still blackish, right? Spit bars without practice. I love all people, but I will not.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
I see you got the album cover up on the screen today.
Oh yeah. That was because the I think one of the posts on IG, it was one of my songs, Holy Ambition, and I used that to help promote it. So that's what that's about. Yeah.
Right.
More to come on the album, man. I got some more interviews lined up. So things are, God is good. Yeah. And you got two songs on there, man. Does anyone
I know I'm famous.
Hey, what you want to talk about?
Well, wait, I want you to do yours first, because I feel like I remember thinking that there was a post that you wanted to talk about. Yeah. What was it again?
All right, let me pull it. And basically it was from millennials and Gen Zs, I think, talking about why they have moved away from the church. And it just sparked a really deep discussion we could get into. I'm going to try to find it. All right, here we go.
What turned me off from church that made me say, I'm not going to church for a little while, I need a break, it became trendy.
Who?
It became trendy.
Talk about that, trendy.
So it almost seemed like leaders were more consistent with content than they were consecration.
Ooh.
And it was like, whatever the song of the summer, it's Spin That by Young Miami. So now I'm preaching from Spin That. You know, y'all spend all this time doing this and doing that. And I'm just like, well, one, what about the older generation? They don't know nothing about that. And then two, is it really good, or are you going for content? You know what I'm saying? And it turned me off. It became very performance based. And I'm like, with godly principles, this is a real thing. I feel like it should be preached no matter what the song of the summer is or what the latest TikTok sound is. But I get it. While I want the church to be relatable, I don't agree with the church being trendy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because godly principles are not trends. They don't go in and out.
I just don't want to feel like every time I come to church or whatever I do is not enough. Sometimes I feel like the church can sometimes make you feel like that. I want to know how I can develop and grow in my relationship, because you say that a lot when you preach. It's about relationship and not scaring people into things. But it's like, when I go to church, I want to learn more about cultivating a relationship with God. So I feel like I'm not being performative. When I come to him, I'm not having to think about, okay, am I saying this the right way?
Yeah.
I'm in school, or when I'm reading my Bible, I need to make sure I finish that chapter before I go to bed. Just all of these rules and regulations that I feel like you get when you go to church as a young person. It's like, but it's not talked about enough to cultivate a natural, easy relationship with God that can develop over time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can even come to church and feel uncomfortable because certain people know certain Bible verses by heart. They know all the songs that the praise team is singing, and you like, you know, you feel a little out of place.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, so, I agree. The closest I got to God was when I wasn't going to church, and he taught me himself that it was relationship. It wasn't about a sanctuary. Now, I ain't never been at home or up at 3 o'clock in the morning and my spirit got vexed, but I have been in the sanctuary and I'm really teed off because I'm like, this is performance based. This is about everybody come to the altar. So when we take a picture and post it on Instagram, it looks like we were packed out tonight.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's easy to,
or praise and worship, you know, people are just falling out and hands and all those things are great. But you do wonder as you get older, especially growing up in the church, is this really real?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow, that was a lot, man.
That was a lot. I actually, I must not have listened to the whole thing because I only remember the first person speaking and saying it's not a trend. I don't remember those second two parts.
You'll never listen to my stuff.
I thought I listened to the whole thing. I don't know what, maybe it might have started buffering or something. Or I lost signal or something. I don't know. And I didn't realize I hadn't finished it.
What do you think?
Wow, there was so much in there. The first part, I'm a little embarrassed to say I'm about to sound like you. Ooh. Ooh, I'm about to have a moment. Because you always, I see both sides. And I'm having a moment. Oh my goodness. I feel like I gotta catch myself. But on the first one, when she's talking about the trend, I'm kind of like, I see both sides, because on the one hand, it kind of reminds me of an episode of King of the Hill where Bobby was getting really into church, but he was getting really into it with this guy who was like all tattooed up and liked to have more like a rock and roll kind of energy about him and like looked very non-traditional and piercings and all of that kind of stuff. And like the way that they talked about the scripture was not in like a traditional way. And Hank didn't like that because they were making it all cool and dressing it up and making it sound punk rock and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, he was talking about how Bobby always picked up a new trend. Like he wanted to learn hockey or maybe he wanted to learn an instrument. And then when he got bored of it, he stopped doing it. And he didn't want him to get wrapped up in church because it felt cool. And then when it's not cool anymore, he doesn't want to do it anymore. So he wanted him to do it not in that way. And so that part, I kind of was like, it reminds me of that, and I understand where Hank was coming from. But then on the other hand of it, I'm like, I know when you were talking about even starting this podcast, and it was like, there's so many young people who don't necessarily resonate with church anymore, and they like are not wanting to go or whatever and for some reason. And I'm kind of like, are those pastors actually trying to help it resonate with an audience that it hasn't been resonating with? So they're just trying to find a way to connect and to make it make sense, and it's not landing for you, but they might be actually making it land for somebody else. And so is it that you don't do that, or is it that you do that sometimes and do something that resonates with somebody else another time maybe, and just try to use different messages and different ways of doing it at different times? Because I also know, like, you know, we have youth pastors, or we have like, this is the singles women group, or this is whatever other group. And so like, maybe in certain settings, maybe you communicate in a different way. So yeah.
Well said. And I do see both sides, to be honest. And to your point, that is one of the reasons I started the podcast. But you have to, the younger generation, they're letting us know that they're moving away from the church, right? And so we have to be strong enough. We have to be open enough to at least listen. And I think that's where we fall short sometimes. We're quick to shut that down. But what strikes me is that they're saying the same thing in different ways. They are rejecting. They're rejecting what the church has become, right? They're basically saying no more. One thing stood out to me was the young lady who said she's gotten closer to God since she stopped going to church. And I have my theories on that, because it was revealing on so many levels, right? So I think it goes both ways when we talk about trending and trying to get, I think we talked about it on the show, trying to get the clips, the clickbaiting. But on the other side of that, when you're a young person or anyone going to church, you're trying to be accepted. You're trying to be accepted when you're going to church. You don't want to be viewed as someone who's not a Christian. And so you worry about, am I reading the scripture correctly? Do I understand the word? I didn't memorize that verse. I don't know what they're talking about. When they sing a song, do I know the lyrics? Or when they say certain things, some things that are somewhat have a ritual factor in church. And so I think we put pressures on ourselves. And I say all that to say her idea of, or her statement of, I got closer to God because of when I wasn't going to church, it's not really a reflection of the church as much as she thinks it is. I think it's a reflection of her feeling comfortable and not worrying about, you know, do I have the nice hat? Am I dressed up? All those other things that go with a church that doesn't necessarily connect with the heart and what it means to be connected with God. And so you worry about those things. And so you're not focusing on God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I also just would wonder if that person tried some different churches, because I do think that sometimes you do have to try to find the one that resonates with you most, and maybe she just wasn't in the right church family.
That's a very good point. And I was actually thinking about that too, when you were talking. I was like, it's different experiences, that because I know a lot of a plethora of pastors who get it, and they are very relevant, very connected, and are open to what the young people in the church have to say. So, and some aren't, but to your point, you have to find that right church, the church that really fulfill your needs. So that's a very good point. And I think it's a fine line too, because the other part of it is, and I can speak about the Black church now, I'm going to be a little more laser focused on the Black church. Culture is a big thing in our community, right? So it's almost impossible not to insert culture in our message if you're really connected. I really believe that, because, and I'll tell you what made me think about this when I was doing my album, and I was, you know, certain lyrics that would come up, they're not necessarily, you could say spiritual, but they speak to our culture. And I was thinking about that. I was like, some people may get offended by this, but it's who we are, and we can't, I'm not going to run away from that piece of it, if that makes sense. So, yeah, culture is a part of that. So sometimes, are you saying that they're so focused on content when in fact they're just being who they are and not shying away from it? Now, don't get me wrong, there are some people who, we talked about this clickbaiting, they want to be able to post and get so many views and likes, and, you know, like she talked about people having everyone come to the altar. But the other part of it is, and I stand by that, that there is a cultural dynamic that you just can't escape, right? I feel like I'm talking a lot on this one.
Well, I am trying to keep myself muted because I got these kids in the background playing and making all this noise. But I also, I just lost my thought that I had when you were talking about the cultural dynamic. The cultural dynamic that we can't get away from. Yeah. A part of me, as I was listening to all of these people talk, was kind of like, I don't know. At a certain point, it's like, look, if you don't like it, you just don't like it. Like, let's stop all of this rigmarole and you trying to rationalize. If you don't want to go, then just say that.
There was a part of me that thought that too, but I'm not going to lie. I totally agree, because you say that the church is not speaking to you, and then when they try to connect and be relatable, then you say y'all doing too much. That was actually one of the things. Yeah, we're on the same page
And then one person said, "Oh, you're trying to do all of this trendy stuff, but what about the older people?" And then this other person said, "Oh, you're doing all of this falling out and showing out." And I'm kind of like, that's been going on for decades and decades, and the older people be doing that. So
yeah, you know. That's another good point. I think I was having this discussion earlier this week about someone. And what I explained to them is, like, it's a matter of two things. Number one, do you trust that person? And number two, only that person know why they're doing what they're doing. What's the intent behind it? So if any of this has the intention of getting closer to God and their heart's in the right place, then two thumbs up. If they're doing it with the intent of, hey, I want attention, I'm going to get more followers, I'm getting more, filling these seats versus saving souls, then yeah, we have a problem. But only they know. And that's what Jesus was, you know, we talk about the Gospels and Jesus coming in and the Pharisees being on the outside, the epitome of what religion looked like, and, you know, checking all the boxes, where Jesus was like, yeah, y'all are doing that, but your hearts are in the wrong place. So that's what it boils down to me. We can't, you know, we can't really say why one pastor is doing this and why the other one isn't. We just don't know. But if you trust them, you and you know that person, and they've established a relationship, and they mentioned this earlier, how important relationships are. If you have that relationship with them, then they are going to be inclined to trust you.
Yeah, and I also feel like if you question somebody's intentions, you could just have a conversation with them. Even if they don't say whatever verbally, you might be able to get a sense from just asking them about it, and even just hearing how they explain what their approach is, that it helps you understand them more.
Amen. Amen. Man, this ain't fun. We're on the same page on this one. So
I didn't really know what your page was, so we're finding that out now. But I don't know. I didn't really resonate with that video, to be honest. So I was like, kind of new church then. Or just say I just don't like church, period, and stop trying to rationalize why you don't want to go. It kind of feels to me like you just want to make it sound good so that you don't feel bad about yourself and not going to church.
Yeah, I did think that, but then even if that's the case, there are some who are battling that. And I was like, it's definitely worth giving it a listen and really speaking on it, because we do want to make certain. And the other part of it is the numbers are showing that we're losing our young people to the church, from the church. So,
we had a whole episode about church. So I don't want to not acknowledge that there could be things. It's just this particular conversation.
And I know. I did think that, though. I'm not going to lie. I was like, well, okay. But yeah, all right. That was good. What do you have?
I really, now because you have the clip and everything, I'm like, I wish I had the clip. But there was multiple things. Like, there were so many things. But I remember, it's been a while back. And actually, this conversation for me had multiple different clips and multiple different things I wanted to talk about, and now I feel so dirty now for bringing it up, but sexless marriages and connections between that and your religiosity. I first read, so Kevin Fredericks.
So Tap-In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. So there's three features that come with Tap-In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
Okay, so a few years ago, I read, it might have been a couple years ago, but anyway, Kev on Stage Fredericks. We know him because he's like an actor / comedian / internet sort of content creator, IG influencer, whatever. But he has a lot of like Christian content.
Yep.
He talks about his own experiences with his faith and all of that. And so, and a lot of times, you know, he has that show Churchy, you know. So he has a lot of that kind of content. Him and his wife have this book called Marriage Be Hard. I read that book a couple of years back. And in the book, there's a part of it where his wife, Melissa, she talks about just like how she grew up in a situation where it was always like, don't have sex until marriage. And I believe she didn't have sex until marriage. He didn't wait. She was not his first, but he was her first in their marriage or whatever. And then, you know, you're always told, you know, not to dress inappropriately and all of that kind of stuff. And like, all of a sudden you get married and you're expected to be this sex kitten. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you kind of make that transition and switch? And she talked about even trying to like get to a place where she figures out her style and what makes her, you know, feel sexy and that kind of stuff. And it reminded me of some of the content that I've been seeing on social media lately, where there was actually a clip, and it was from a man's perspective, where he was like, if when you're the pastor who suddenly gets married on your wedding night, and like this woman that he's, it's like their wedding night, and she's trying to get him to immediately get in the bed, and he's like nervous or not really able to turn on that sexual side of himself.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like him trying to wait it or whatever in this kind of humorous way, which is why I'm like, oh man, if I had actually just queued up the clip, it would have made more sense maybe. Although even that one, I feel like you maybe have to see it. But yeah, it just made me think about like, how do we navigate that, I guess? And there's a couple of other thoughts I have on this, but before I go in, I want to just pause there and see what your thoughts are.
Wow, that's a low. I did not see that coming. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking a different direction. So that's really, and I would imagine that that's more of a female's experience than a male, but I may be wrong about
it. I told you that one clip was a man.
Yeah, he's an outlier. Totally. I'm certain, but nevertheless, I do think that, and I keep saying in my mind when I hear this that, you know, a lot of Christian women probably wrestle with this because you, and what I'm what it sounds like you're saying is if you've been programmed, don't have sex, be guarded. And in a sense, sex can be bad. And then
yeah, dress modestly. Married, but then all of a sudden you're married and you want to look sexy for your husband.
Yeah. Mm. I'm scared to even touch.
Why are you?
I guess. Well, I'll say this.
Where did you think we were gonna go?
I thought you were just gonna say people who are in marriage and they're just not having sex. I mean, you went and added some layers, and so my brain was going in that direction. But I do think that usually it's going to be one-sided, meaning that either the husband. And I think it's going to be most more often than not, the husband will be the one with the experience in those cases. And that's when the husband should probably be very gentle, very patient with that person to get them comfortable for that phase, that expectation, and what's included in a spiritual, emotional connecting marriage. I think that part is easy. I think the challenge would be if both parties, the husband and wife, both are inexperienced and they've been programmed to, because in a sense you are programming them the sex is bad and now the light switch is on. How do two people, and I'm just trying not to, that's trying to stay rated G. I'm picturing a clumsy moment here, right? How do you get them to not be so clumsy or navigate through that? I think that if it were me, what I would tell, because there is counseling before you get married, I think pastors should be equipped and prepared to kind of counsel. It's funny, as I'm talking, I'm kind of thinking this thing out, but that pastor should be equipped to really prepare them for that moment. I'm trying to think, when I got married, it really was, it was a long time ago, but I don't think pastors really talked about that then. But nowadays, I would hope that a pastor can help and coach them through that. Does that make sense?
I would hope so. I want to, and I agree with you, and that it reminds me, speaking of Kevin on stage, of an episode of Churchy where he was like this new pastor, young pastor, he's trying to coach this like couple who was in their 60s or something through sexual issues in a relationship that was,
yeah,
it was different from this. But I want to give you two angles that I've seen, two stories that I've seen where the sex issue is coming from the male side of the relationship. And it's different from the perspective I just shared with you about the switch that you have of how you're being programmed in church. Mm-hmm. These are two different ones. So there was one story I remember seeing. And I think this is not a story that's only been once, but it was a story that this woman was sharing about how she married this man who wasn't attracted to her. Like, originally, he wasn't interested in her. He wasn't pursuing her like that. He wasn't attracted to her. And he kind of said, like, I don't think you're pretty. I hope he didn't use the word ugly, because I feel like I remember him saying something that was very offensive, like that word, or saying that she looked like something that was really unattractive, like some kind of creature or something. And it was really hurtful from what I remember reading it. Looking at it, I felt like it was hurtful. But, Babe, can you be quiet, please? But what he said was, like, God told me that you're my wife, and this is a spiritual union, not a union of I actually want you and I'm attracted to you. And so we can, like, pray together and have a union that's rooted in our connection, our spiritual connection, but not that I actually desire you as a woman. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And another scenario where there was a woman who was sharing that her husband insisted that they be celibate prior to their marriage because of faith or whatever. And then after they got married, she learned that he had ED. Mm-hmm. And so they were having this kind of same scenario. And these are all situations that are connected to faith being a driver of you ending up in the same situation, or your religion or whatever being a driver of you ending up in the same situation, just for different reasons.
Yeah. Was there a remedy to these these stories?
What's crazy is that the first woman didn't see any issue with it. And people were like, yo, like, this person is not being kind to you. Even if he thought that internally, like, I think you're ugly or whatever, but I'm going to marry you anyway because God told me to. Why would you tell her that? It's very hurtful. And yeah, she didn't seem to perceive it as hurtful. So I don't think she was looking for a remedy. I think she felt like it was a better to have a marriage that was only because God told her husband to marry her, and not because he actually wanted her and he actually tried to fight against getting with her. She seemed to be wearing it as a badge of honor. The second person, I want to say people were telling her she should leave. Well, I don't know what she actually did, but people were telling her, you need to get out that marriage.
Wow. I'm oh, T, you be bringing it, man. You be bringing it, I tell you.
I told you what I wanted to talk about.
I did not know, but it's all good, though. The first example you just gave, I totally agree with everyone else. I think it's just totally inappropriate, and it goes against, if you're supposed to, this is a spiritual guy who's saying, well, everything is about the heart, but that doesn't mean you have to tell someone on the outside, you know, I'm not attracted to you. And it seems like I know of a couple seen something similar, but totally inappropriate. I can't even imagine going to anyone and saying something just out of pocket like that. The second one, I think my only issue would be not being transparent in the beginning, and then you wait to marriage and then tell them, because if you do have that problem, you can't help that, but you have to be honest. And so now this person is in a marriage and they're going to have to try to figure this out together.
It seemed like to me that he was using his faith as an excuse to just mask that problem. But I don't know that for sure, because like we were saying on the previous topic, you don't know somebody's heart condition and their motivations. Only they know that, but it just seems very suspicious.
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 fast.
And I just leave us on one thing that that Pastor Jamal Bryant said that I found interesting that feels somewhat related to this topic?
Yeah.
He said prayer is more intimate than sex, but so many people will have sex with people that they would never pray with.
Wow. That's deep. And I totally agree. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, even in marriages, right? Like, are we praying together? And I can be transparent and say, as a couple, is when times are rough, when we found ourselves, we should be doing it more through all times. Good. The peaks and valleys. So, wow, that's deep. I appreciate that, T. Anything else before we wrap up?
Do we have a guest? If so, can you tell us about them?
No, it's us.
It's oh, yay!
It's us, yeah.
I love that. Well, ooh, that means you don't got nothing to give to Radio 1.
I don't have anything else to give, so boy, yeah. We'll see what Radio 1 do with this.
Y'all.
Nah, it's all good. Because the first thing they say before they aired the episode is the views, what is it? The views and opinions are that of the hosts and not of Radio 1.
That's so fair.
That is fair. All right, T, we'll see you next time. I appreciate you more than you know.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful people.
I'm living in a pit of dysfunction. They think I'm strong, but that's an assumption. Not raising you made a fool of me. I think the smile took everything in me.
My purpose, yeah, the flow in this genre, man. Second coming to the world is my honor, man. His love, no condition, more than mama, man. Warn you about Judgment Day, yep. John Connor, man, dropping all them bars. I be staying away from bars. Revelation, 7 churches, but you see 7 stars. It ain't far, and it's coming. John wrote it in his letter. See the throne of God with 24 elders. Stay soup, don't toot my own flute. And I yell, I need the Lord like I'm in the Walls group. My group, we be walking in the churches, in the chicken of our holy habit verses. We go to God cause we know that we're unclean. We need the Lord like bad breath, Listerine. I am the son, but you can't call him Billy Jean. If I'm a sir, then that makes him supreme.
Mind raising you made a fool of me.
Church worship in tongues, devil fighting hard, but we know that God won. If Jesus is the light, then I'm standing in the sun. Serving is a must, so they call me musketeer. Well done, good and faithful servant, what I want to hear. Man, with the Lord you do a lot. World on my shoulders and I'm still doing squats. Newborn babe who desire pure milk. Now I'm feeling grown like I'm standing on stilts. I built this thing up cause being ruthless ain't right. I popped a balloon because the devil's not my type. Happy that I heard from ya. I got a word from ya. Blessing was a noun but made it to a verb for ya. Sign in the field and it's all been revealed. Book of Revelation where you see 7 seals. Yep.
I'm living in a pit of dysfunction. They think I'm strong, but that's an assumption.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.